Praise the Lord. Oh, we better lift him up. Amen. He is worthy to be lifted up. His name is to be praised. To God be the glory. I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually, not sometimes, not when times are just good, but at all times, even when times are rough. Amen? A praise should always be on our lips. Why? Because God is good. And his goodness keeps chasing us, keeps running after us. Amen? Oh, how many of you know about the goodness of God? Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Good afternoon. Amen, church. Today, as I set things up, we're coming out of a very well-known text. Amen. And today, this is Bible study. Amen. You know, yes, it's a sermonic moment, but the sermonic moment is Bible study. So today we are going to head over into Mark 10. What did I say? And I want to say thank you to Adriana. Adriana, well done. I love the way you read it and read it so eloquently. Amen. And so we thank her. We thank the youth for participating. We thank everybody for their part in worship today. And so I will read in your hearing verses 17, rather, to about whenever I finish. Amen. All right, I'll read in your hearing. And it says, as he was setting out on a journey, a man ran up and knelt before him, that's Jesus, and asked him, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments, Jesus replied. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and your mother. He said to him, teacher, very happily, I have kept all these things since my youth. And Jesus, looking at him with love, he loved him and said, you lack one thing. Somebody ought to say one thing. Go sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure, but it will be in heaven. Then come, follow me. And when he heard this, he was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Today, I've entitled the sermon, God Wants It All. Capital A, capital L, capital L. All. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that the word sanctifies us, oh God. That it's sharper than any two-edged sword, Lord God. That it splits, oh God, the soul, Lord God, from the heart. We thank God that your word, oh God, is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Father God, now sanctify us as we delve into your word. Speak to our hearts. Let them not hear me, but hide me behind the cross. And I pray that, as the song says, we will lift you up. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. God wants it all. Church, Some of us have the mindset that if we wanted God to give us something so badly, if we wanted something or we wanted to get rid of something, maybe the guilt of our past, or if we wanted to feel holy, and if we wanted to feel righteous and pious before God and before our fellow man, that we would start to take spiritual inventory. And so we reason within ourselves that if we but started to do better in those areas that we've come up short or that we lack, then we would warrant or we would deserve God's favor or blessing. Okay, like for instance, some of us may think that if I just started praying more, double up on my prayer life, amen somebody. If I just started giving more, if I just started studying more, or if I just started serving more, if I'm on time for Sabbath school, come on somebody, if then, we are preoccupied with the if then, then I would hear from heaven, or then I would be blessed, or then I would be truly considered a good Christian Seventh-day Adventist. Are you hearing me out there? There is a nature inside of us that believes what we do or what we don't do determines whether or not we get our blessings. Or even further, we get that ticket into glory. And this mindset is sometimes the very mindset that we need to fight against. Because, listen, hear me now. This is actually a conditioning of a worldly system. Oh, yeah. The if then. Right? The world has actually taught us that if we study hard, you get good grades. If you don't, you fail. If you fully do your duties on your job, then you get paid. Am I right about it? And if you don't, well, you get fired. If you are a good friend, right? Then you will have friends and people will like you, but if you aren't, you'll lose them. The world system has taught us that works, good performance, affect positive results. If then. But this is not God's way. Are you hearing me out there? This is performance-based, works-based Christianity, which is legalism, are you hearing me, at its best. It's man's basic desire, the if-then mentality. If I do this, if I do more of this, then I'll get this from God. If we have this mentality, that's legalism at its best. This is man's desire, hear me now, to be in control of his own destiny. And that includes eternal destiny, which appeals to, hear me now, man's pride and his desire to be in control. And that's why works or performance-based salvation produces four core heart idols. In other words, heart idolatry. Are you hearing me out there? And ironically, they all have the prefix self before the word. In other words, self-righteousness. Right? To gain God's approval, I have to do good works. I have to perform well. Self-righteousness. Self-reliance. If I try harder, if I work harder, then God will love me. Self-esteem, oh yes, is a worldly concept, right? You could gain God's acceptance by building up your own worth and value. Oh, but this is what we call heart idolatry. God doesn't want that. God doesn't want our self-righteousness. Because the Bible says that our righteousness is like what? He's not impressed with self-reliance because God wants faith and trust in Him. He's not interested in your hard work in Sabbath school. How you were able to maintain a healthy diet, or how many Bible studies you've given, or how many people you've baptized. Because He says, many shall say, what? Lord, Lord, did we not do this? Prophesy in your name. In other words, preach in your name. Did we not cast out devils in your name? In your name, did we not perform miracles? And then Jesus says, I declare to them, I never knew you. Works-based, performance-based salvation. Oh, God doesn't want our high self-esteem. Jesus said, the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. If any of you want to be great in my kingdom, you must first serve the rest. That's Jesus. You see the difference between God or divine government versus world government? So God is not interested in our performances, in our good works, in our impressive knowledge, in our diction, in our education, even though we're in our very own Adventist culture, and I said culture, we tend to highlight those things. It is a cause for recognition. We like to put the spotlight on these people and elevate them to a high height. And say, oh, this is piety. This is righteousness. God doesn't care about that. Notice though, those He chose in the Bible. Moses, stuttering. He was a nobody when God met him. Moses. And Gideon was fearful of everything. David was last, but he became first. Are you hearing me? Peter was a cursing fisherman. What God is interested in, here is my point. This is the crux. What God is interested is in the heart. All of it. Psalms 51:17 says the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite. He's not interested also in pieces of it either. He's not interested in some of it. He wants it. And this story is a perfect example of what Jesus is looking for in each one of us, whether you're young, old, or middle age. So let's examine the story, shall we? Let's seek to understand all that He wants. What does He want when He says all? What does this all entail, or what does this all involve? All right, so the first thing I want to submit to you today, in giving your all, based on the story, you have to humble yourself. What did I say? In other words, you have to recognize your deficiencies in His very presence and realize that He is the only one who can fill your emptiness and supply all your needs. When this young man was blessed his eyes on Jesus while he was teaching, preaching, and blessing children, he recognized that there was something different about Jesus. He had never seen this kind of goodness before. And Ellen White, in Desire of Ages, says that he saw the love of Christ manifested towards the children that were brought to him. How Jesus took these babies in his arms and he blessed them. And this young man was so deeply moved by the compassion of Christ, seeing the love of Jesus, he knew that there was something supernatural about this man. That's why he says, "Good, Master." He's never seen good before. He recognized the goodness of God, and just by being in Christ's presence, this young man sensed his own inadequacy. He sensed his own wretchedness. And that's what happens when you are in the presence of God. Are you hearing me? When you are in the presence of God, it consumes you. His holiness, his awesomeness, his goodness, his righteousness is so awesome, it consumes you. And that's why Hebrews 12, 29 says that our God is a consuming fire. When you are in God's presence, you can't help but humble yourself. And that's why Isaiah 6, in Isaiah, when he saw the Lord sitting on his throne, high and lifted up, his train filled the temple, he cried out, "Woe is me! I am undone and I have unclean lips." He recognized his own uncleanliness in his presence. And that's what happens when we come into the presence of God. And not just once, amen, but daily. When we make it a point to live in his presence. When you make it a point to live in his presence, you walk humbly before our God. You recognize that it's only by his grace and his mercy that you're not consumed. That you are actually living. And so, this young man, beholding Jesus, humbled himself. And I just want to let you know, this is the beginning of giving your all to God. You've got to humble yourselves. How did this young man humble himself? When he realized that he needed help. That he was empty. When he realized that he was weak and his life was headed in the wrong direction and his life didn't match up with Jesus, that's when the Bible says that he ran and he knelt before Jesus. Oh, I remember there was a time, I call it my dark ages, that yes, I had given my life to the Lord when I was very young. But when high school started, and in Quebec, high school starts in grade 7. Unfortunately, I started to link with the worst crowd. And in doing so, you know, I wanted to be feel accepted. That's what sometimes youth do. You know what I mean? They want to feel accepted. So they'll do things that are contrary to their beliefs. So I started, you know, dibbing and dabbing and a little smoking and a little drinking. And I was cursing like Peter. Yeah. I know. I hate to divulge my dark ages because then people start looking at me differently. And then they start judging me. Yeah, but let me tell you something. God wiped the slate clean and I'm saved by grace. Amen. And I'm Holy Ghost filled. And that's in my past. I'm no longer guilty for that. Amen, somebody. But I live to tell somebody that, hey, I was lost, but now I'm found. But those were my dark ages. And it's only when I sensed that I was losing control, that I had no direction in my life, and I was headed nowhere fast. That's when Jesus caught me. that's when I ran to his feet and I humbled myself, and I am here as a testimony of his goodness and his grace and his mercy. And that was the beginning of giving my all. Amen, somebody. That's when God started to direct my life. And that's when he'll start to direct yours too, if you but humble yourself. Oh, surrender. You know, and I believe this is what happened with this young man. He realized his righteousness was filthy compared to God's goodness. When he looked at Jesus' life, he realized that his wasn't cutting it, that he was spiritually inept. And sometimes we have to realize that we are spiritually inept. We are empty. We are devoid of substance. He realized his life needed God. And when you realize that your life is a mess, that's one way that your heart is telling you, you need God. You need Jesus. And so the Bible says that he ran and knelt at the feet of Jesus, and he asked God. And that's a form of prayer. When you ask God, and when you don't have all the answers, you ask God, because it says, if you lack wisdom, what? Let him ask of God. So when he was on the right track is when he ran to Jesus. And he knelt and he humbled himself. So the next thing I want to share with you from the text, and when you want to, if you want to know how to give your all, does anybody want to know how to give your all? Do you want to know how to give your all? Do you want to give your all? If you want to give your all, wave your hands in the air. The next thing I want to tell you is how to give your all is that you have to understand what's required of you in the Word of God. Yeah. Are you hearing me out there? Yeah. Understanding God's commandments, yes. And seeking God for guidance. This brother had so much potential, young. Full of life. He had a sense enough to feel his unworthiness in the presence of goodness. The mere fact that he calls Jesus good master shows his awareness, his keenness and sensitivity to spirituality. In fact, Ellen White remarks in Desire of Ages, Christ was drawn to this young man. He knew him to be sincere in his assertions. The Redeemer longed to create in him that discernment which would enable him to see the necessity of heart devotion and Christian goodness. Jesus saw in this young man the help that he needed. In other words, in the gospel, he would have been a force in the gospel. When he asked, what must I do to have eternal life? He really wanted to know. He wanted to know, what do I do, Lord? He was sincere. He wanted that knowledge. Are you hearing me out there? He recognized that Jesus was that one who can give him that knowledge. Jesus, he was impressed by this young man's discernment and hunger for truth. He was seeking, this young man was seeking truth. He was seeking understanding. Oh, Downsview, it means to have a heart that is seeking God. And not just seeking through prayer, seeking him through his word. Huh? And you can't be comfortable with just coming to church every Sabbath and hearing what I say or what Pastor Affleck says. But every day, you should be seeking for fresh bread. Fresh bread from the oven of heaven. That is a step into giving your all. You want to know what God has for you, amen? You want to kneel at Jesus' feet and ask Jesus all the important questions, all the important questions that life throws at you. Oh, let me tell you something. In giving your all, the word, it must be your food. Amen, somebody. Because his word, as I said before, is a lamp unto your feet and a light to your path. God's word is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, for instruction in righteousness. God's word is living. It's a two-edged sword, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of soul and spirit, joint and marrow. The word of God, James says, is like a mirror. If you want to know your true condition, the word will reveal that to you. And by the way, we can't be picky and choosy with the word. Amen, somebody. It's all of it. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. All of it. Eat all of it. Like communion bread. And giving your all, our lives should be ordered by the word. The steps of a good man, what are ordered by the Lord, and he delight in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. For the Lord upholdeth him in his hand. The young man sought the Lord's guidance when he asked, Lord, what shall I do to get eternal life? And he waited for Jesus in anticipation. Oh, I can't. Give me the word. I'm hungry. You have to be hungry for the word of God. The third and the last step I want to share on how to give your all. And this is very important. Is that you, listen, you can't hold anything back from the Lord. You can't hold anything back. In other words, nothing is off limits in your life for God to get rid of. The story, this brilliant young man full of potential who Jesus looks into his heart, and he looks into his future, and he can see how he can use him. And that's what he's doing right now. He looks at all of us and he sees that he can use all of us for his kingdom. He sees potential in all of us. He looks at this young man and this young man runs to Jesus, humbles himself, kneels before Jesus, recognizes his goodness, calls him master, then asks the very important question, what shall I do to be saved? And that's a great question, amen? That's the question that brings us to church from week to week. I want to be saved. Is it? Or am I making a mistake? Huh? This is what brings us every day, kneeling at the altar. Lord, what must I do to be saved? He was asking this question, this important question. And so Jesus, he gives him the answer. And I love the way he does it. Jesus gives him the word. He gives him the commandments. He says, all right, you're willing. Okay, great, wonderful, you're willing. Here it is. He gives them the 6 commandments. Don't murder, don't lie, don't defraud, don't honor your mother. He gives them, and he gives them the 6 out of the 10. And what I believe Jesus was setting up here, I believe Jesus is actually encouraging this young man by highlighting the commandments he's already keeping. Yeah. Hear me now. Come closer. Yeah, I believe it was an indirect message of telling him, sure, you are on the right path. Huh? You're headed in the right direction. And so my young fellow, so happily, and he's relieved, right, that on the fact that, hey, keeping these commandments since he was young is a good thing. You know, I believe he was so overjoyed because now he could pat himself on the back. I made it. I can mark it off my spiritual check sheet. And I got the approval of Jesus. Woo! Hallelujah. I'm on the right track. And I believe some of us are, or a lot of us Adventists are like that. Ooh, can I drive up into some driveways up in here? Huh? We're happy that we're on the right track with following the truth. Huh? When it comes to the Sabbath, hallelujah, praise God, we got the right day. Check. We praise God. Hey, hallelujah. We know about the sanctuary message, the 2300 day prophecy. Check. We praise God and we follow the health message. Check. We know the truth about the second coming, the second advent. Check. We know about the state of the dead. Check. We're on the right path. Check. 3 angels message. Check. Dress for reform. Check. 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 We're so happy and satisfied with all our checks. Just like this young man, pun intended. However, Jesus, come on in here. Now seeing the pride welling up in him because he checked off. He's got them all checked off. Hallelujah. And Jesus says, okay, come a little closer. All right. Okay. If you really want to be perfect. And that word perfect, teleos, actually means if you really want to be completed, if you really want me to grow you and develop you, there's one thing that you lack. Ooh, I'm sure he was all surprised. He's like, whoa. What you mean? I checked. I'm checked off. As what you talking about, Jesus? One thing that you lack. And the reason why Jesus brought up his one thing, his one deficiency. Notice in the text. Notice, come back to the text. Man's question is, what shall I? What shall I? In other words, hear me, and do in italics, capital D, capital O. Hear me now. He thought eternal life was a matter of earning. And a matter of deserving, hear me now, not based on relationship. You mean to tell me, God, that I have to be in relationship with you? You mean to tell me, God, I have to connect and stay connected? That I don't deserve blessings and eternal life on account of what I do and what church I go to? One thing. His deficiency. Hear me now, is what? That he didn't want Jesus to be his savior. He wanted Jesus to show him the way to be his own savior. That's why he asked, what shall I do? What can I do? How can I rely on my own abilities and capabilities, God? Are you hearing me out there? And I have to say, we have a tendency to feel comfortable and happy in the fact that we are Seventh-day Adventists. And because we are in the church that supports or that upholds truth. But many of us believe that this is the very thing that will save us. This young man thought that because he was being affirmed or what he was observing, that he was guaranteed eternal life. But Jesus responds to that and says, one thing you lack. And here it is. He says it. He says, and the guy is just listening, okay? All right, give it to me. Sell all you have and give it to the poor. Come follow me. Hey, what you have down here is earthly treasure, but what you're going to get is heavenly treasure. That value, it totally outweighs what you get here on earth. Eternal life is more than what you could get here on earth. One thing. Jesus knew that he was keeping only one half of the great commandment. And you know the great commandment, eh? Is what? Love God with all your what? Heart and all your mind. And the second part of that is love your neighbor as you love your. He was only loving his neighbor as he loved himself. But God, he didn't love God with all his heart, soul, and mind, and strength. Why? Because he had a God. And that God was his checks. That God was his money. That God was his pride. His control. One thing you lack, young man. One thing you're not giving, young man. Jesus, he right now, and if you can play something, he is peering into the souls of every person here. You're on the right track. You understand truth. You know the things of the word of God. Praise God. You're following them. You're observing them. But I'm looking into your heart. And he's saying, listen, there's one thing. One thing. Some of us have three things. Some of us have five things. What is it? What is your one thing? Two things. Is it a heart that won't forgive? What is your one thing? Is it a heart that refuses to love? One thing. Are you disconnected to Jesus? Do you really know Jesus? Does he really live in your heart? What's your one thing that you need to surrender to God? Because let me tell you something. God wants it all. He doesn't want the part of you that comes to church on every Sabbath, goes through the motions, looks pious on the outside, appears to be righteous, but you know that you're living a life that is contrary to what he requires. What's your one thing that you need to surrender? God doesn't want part of your heart. He doesn't want your sacrifices. What he wants is a broken and a contrite heart. A heart that is humble. A heart that is seeking for him, seeking for his word. A heart that is willing to give him everything. A heart. And sometimes we compartmentalize. Oh, I give this to Christ. I give that. Oh, you can't live here, God. You can't have my relationships. You know, I'm the one who is overseeing that. I'm the bishop of that department, compartment in my heart. Oh, God, I know I have anger managements, but I'm going to handle that. Sometimes we compartmentalize what we want to give to God. But no, I'm telling you today, God wants it all. Or else everything that we do here, all the prophesying and all the pretty prayers and all the healthy lives would all be in vain if God doesn't have your all. So who needs to give their all today? I want you to think about that. And right now I'm going to ask Sister Shanae, if I got your name wrong, I'm sorry, to come up here and to sing this song, He Wants It All. And while she's singing, the appeal is somebody needs to give their all to God today. And if he spoke to your heart today that you need to give your all, listen, don't even wait until I come back up here. Rush to the altar and give it. Give him your all. Let God take your heart. Surrender all. Because he wants it all today. He wants it all today. Shanae.
There's a voice that cries out in the silence, searching for a heart that will love him, longing for a child that will give.
Praise God for you. Is there anybody here who wants to give their all to God? He deserves it all. Because he paid it all. And all to him we owe. Is there anybody who wants to give him their all today? I'm calling to you. Just come up and I want to pray. I want to pray for you. You want to give your all to Jesus today? Asking the congregation to stand in support. Anybody who wants to give their all and hold nothing back. God wants our whole heart. Because that's the only way that he'll bless our lives. Hallelujah. Praise God. And of course, the church doors are open as well. If there's anyone who wants baptism and you want to give your all by going all the way to the watery graves of baptism. We have Pastor here. I want you to take his hand as God takes your heart. Give God your all. And I also want to pray for our dear sister Dejanay, who injured herself today and is in a lot of pain. I'm asking the whole congregation to keep her in mind as well. So let us pray as we give God our all. Heavenly Father, we hear your voice today. And today, those who have come up, they're not hardening their hearts. But Lord God, they are giving themselves to you today. And so today, Father God, I pray that you may take our hearts. And all those things that we hold so dear and that we need to give up, God, empower us. Strengthen us. Give us your Holy Spirit to give us the strength to just let go. There's a lot of things, oh God, or spaces in our hearts that we don't give you access to. Lord God, through your Holy Spirit, clear it out. Evacuate those areas in our lives that hold us back from giving our all to you. Father God, a lot of us we're depressed, downcast, because we just won't let go. But today, oh God, we're actually going to come to your altar, lay our burdens down at your feet, and leave them there. So I pray this prayer for those who have given their all today. Lord, let them leave here lifted. Let them leave here with the joy of their salvation. Let them leave here rejoicing. Grant them that peace that passes all understanding. Knowing that you have it all, Lord God. You can handle whatever it is that they're holding on to, whether it's relationships, Lord God, whether it's money. Whether or not, oh God, it's that unforgiving heart that refuses to forgive those who have hurt them in their past, a year, 2 years, 10 years, 20 years ago. God, take it away. As the psalmist says, search us, oh God. Try us now. See if there be any wicked way in us, oh God. Just like the song says, take it away. Take anything that displeases you. Purge us, oh God. Make us whiter than snow. Create in us a clean heart, oh God. And renew a right spirit within us. So that we, oh God, won't have to walk the way we've been walking anymore. We can walk in confidence. We can walk in newness of life. We can walk with a song in our hearts and praise on our lips. Testifying of your goodness. That's what we want, oh God. So Lord, we give it all to you. Like the song says, I give myself away so that you can use me. We give ourselves away so that you can use us. Renew and revive us and save us, seal us for your kingdom. This we give praise and this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let the church say, amen. Amen.